Another technology that seems to keep coming back every 20 years, and I wrote on Facebook recently, I've lived long enough now to see 3D die 4 times. What is it about 3D that it makes a resurgence, it kind of sputters out, and then it dies, if you
What
want
is
to
it
believe
about 3D?
what the media.
Well, I have two quick answers. Well, you can think while I'm doing it. The first one is that 3D TV was an attempt once everybody, it was this unusual event where CRTs that people had their homes, everybody replaced them within a space of a very few years. And that meant that the flat panel display people had to ramp up the production lines and spend a huge amount of investment to the fabrication. But, and they didn't realize that, of course, once they've replaced all the TVs, it's going to flatten out again because they're not going to replace those. You know, the TVs have been there for 30 years, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, and so they're okay. How do we get them to buy something new? So they said, okay, let's now sell them 3D TVs,
right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'll throw out the other ones and put these in or add them to the thing, right? And of course, it was just a way to keep the fabs open to try and try to create something, and everybody wanted to, and the computer companies were trying to make. This is my cynic's view. We're trying to make. Because you get a new computer because you need the 3D chips and GPUs and some of this, so it would help people buy stuff. But nobody asked the question, does it work and how? And so this comes down to my true question as opposed to that one, which is this sort of being a little jaundiced because I worked, I was chief scientist of Silicon Graphics. That was the 3D computer graphics company. And that's how I made my living for a long time. So when people talk to me about 3D, I said, well, so what do you mean by 3D? What is 3D? Because when I go to, for me, 3D, if I'm sitting in a cinema, the only reason the 3D works is because I'm locked down in a seat. Mm-hmm. If I move like this and I don't see something behind, that's not 3D.
No motion parallax.
There's no motion parallax. And so it's an optical fact, and it's entertaining, but it goes away. The second thing I know from having worked in film a long time is that if it's a successful film, if you're aware of the techniques are being used, it's probably a bad film. I remember my film instructor when I was at university, I came back from the French Connection and said, man, Don Ellis' soundtrack for the movie was fantastic. And he said, yeah, it was really too bad. He failed. I said, what do you mean? It was fantastic. I listened to it all the time. He said, exactly. And then, you know, I realized, oh, that's why my buddy Hans Zimmer is so successful, because the music is there out of your face to reinforce. And that's, Hans is really good at that, and so the same thing about 3D. I don't go to the movies. Well, sometimes you do just to get the effects.
Yeah.
There's a certain kind of thing like that. Just like I'll go to just get scared. I don't care about the plot. I just want to be scared. But really on a sustainable basis, come on, bring me the sustainable value added that I'm going to make
the
investment.
And the value add for me, because I've been a big fan of head-mounted displays and stuff like this. And I think we're finally to the point where, like, the Oculus Rift can take us to the point where 3D is a viable medium. And it has that part where you can lean and see behind.
Right, that's to his point. So what are we talking about semantically?
So first of all, there's various natures of 3D, and I think it's fine to call them, but I'd like a taxonomy and say this is the class of 3D that this is doing that. Now, You said something that's really, really important, and which I agree with fully, and I think Jeff will too. It absolutely is now viable in a way that it never has been before in terms of the resolution, the fidelity of rendering,
all the costs
and that sort of stuff. So latency, all this sort of stuff. So all true, completely agreed. Now, come back to this fundamental question, and this is why I like these simple things. Everything's best for something and worse for something else. So what's it best for? Where should we apply it? Tell me why. On what do you base that? Give me the history, right? Back to the long nose.
Yeah.
And then how do we implement it so we do a really good job in a way that it achieves the value proposition that's going on, and it's not just a stupid pet trick.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, I absolutely think there's lots of opportunities in there. and now I can't speak necessarily to the size of the market. That's not my expertise.
Yeah.
And those are other decisions, and it comes back to the fact, I admit I don't know that, so I need that person. Yeah. I don't know how to hire them, but I'll find somebody who does, right?
Yeah.
But that's the deal. I think we may think about it as something very different than what it has been in the past. Certainly in some of the video game stuff, I can see immersive stuff. There's lots of space there.
And, yeah.
I have to say compared to what, when you bring me the value, that's the other part. It comes back to the haptics question. When people say, why don't we have haptics? The question is, why? Do you give me feedback or feed forward? Tell me. Well, audio, could I do it much more cheaply and get the same benefit using acoustic versus that? So now it's just a question of what's the cost, mm-hmm. and the intrusiveness. On the 3D stuff, I've been doing it because I've just got one display and I'm trying to get more and more stuff on it. And I ask myself, well, DSEC displays are getting, screen real estate's getting free. So would I be better maybe to have perceptive pixels wallpapering my room and other things like that, and have multiple displays, and the spatial part of the vision is by having stuff spread around my room architecturally. And down the road, I can imagine that I just use wallpaper. Mm-hmm. That
issue of resource and where you apply your energy is actually one of the reasons why 3D has kind of come and failed four times. And the reason why this last wave of 3D, and what I mean by 3D just contextuals, is obviously that huge push for 3D TVs, that whole, you know, just stereo, whether it's by passive or active shutter glasses, has tried and failed again. It's frankly another warning that if the display industry is, I mean, a lot of technological trends are unfortunately coupled by other just almost geopolitical constructs, almost how certain industries behave. A friend of mine calls the display industry $100 billion not-for-profit. It's really odd how they operate, and they do it to themselves too, but they do amazing things in being able to turn raw energy and sand into these gorgeous displays. But at a certain point, their economics are such that they got to keep these fabs filled. Otherwise, and they've already been depreciated out, and their full economic models make sure those things are cranking out something. So when you have displays that are good enough, they need to find something else to basically say, well, here's another excuse for us to build a display. So unfortunately, they latch onto 3D that way, even though there's all these questions still exist about the content, about what is experience, why, et cetera. And it just basically got ran by marketing decisions, and that sucks, because that actually, I still would argue, actually is postponing the real adoption of 3D in its whatever we want to call correct form. If the display industry focused on high dynamic range, for instance, which is actually even easier technically to achieve than what they've had to do in order to give us two views, we'd be in a much better place. And the kind of visceral reaction to seeing a high dynamic range, mm-hmm. or HDR display is incredible. It's impossible to convey until you've seen one of these things. But that might be part of it. It's hard to explain. What does that mean? When do you understand your eye can accommodate seven orders of magnitude of brightness? And how do you capture that versus 3D is easy to say, oh, well, it's 3D.
So if we come back, see, what's an interesting thing here. Say, what's the real problem? And the real problem is that we can look at historically, it was the replacement of CRTs with flat panel displays that generated the economies of scale that let all the six stuff scale out, the price go down, the size go up, and the quality improve. And it's remarkable. I mean, let's be clear.
Yeah.
These quad HD displays are, and how thin they are, I can't believe my eyes. I still remember the first, I have it from 1994. I brought back from the Akihabara my first LCD TV. And it's this little wee thing that's the size of your laptop screen. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven and paid $1,000 for it. Now, the thing, thing to say though is, if you understand the problem, is how do we keep our people employed and keep that going? So I gave one of the keynotes at the Society for Information Display a year ago, and what I said was that when you're going off for 3D, everybody just jumped on that bandwagon, and instead of, because you just thought that this is the answer, and if you step back, I said, but the mindset was, because you think of these displays as televisions, mm-hmm. and signage that are just to be absorbed, and like, so that everybody's just a sponge that soaks stuff off the screen. So if you think about what you do, if you made things interactive and you added touch or other types of sensing into the displays, and so that you would completely change the market now, because you'd be a whiteboard, you'd be a corkboard, you'd be all these other things that you could be furniture, you'd be table. But if you started doing that, all of a sudden you're not just trying to get the living room for the TV. You've grown the market, and you can get the volumes up, and you can start to go, and you still have a viable business. You keep your production line going. And by the way, it's easier. And it doesn't mean you don't do 3D and you don't keep looking at that, but everybody just seems to jump on the latest fad because they did it. So if Samsung does it, LG has to do it, or whatever. Yeah. And it's the same thing if we do it, Apple does it, or Android, it's a sheep mentality, and they're right. Sort of saying, be independent thinkers. And so the fact is that the whole thing is we're not sponges. And if we are trying to do information visualization, we've got big data, we're trying to have this stuff, don't just present stuff to me. Let me explore. That's an interactive thing. And that's why, I was so happy when Perceptive Pixel joined into became kind of the family, because it was a chance that we'd wanted to work together. It gave us a chance to work together. But because as I said, back at Park, we were building this stuff, and so finally got a chance to get back into that game again with the best technology that's in the world, as far as I can see.
And the display industry is running out of things like 3D to do for that one last incrementalism that they can all comfortably sheep behind and put all their energy in, and it's amazing how quickly they do that, and that cycle is even compressing. For instance, this whole 4K thing, which is the 3D for this year, mm-hmm. has happened in a much faster pace than almost anybody in the display industry, any of my colleagues anticipated. It's amazing when they all decide to do it. Like before 3D, they all decided to want to make thin backlights. It's like, wow, okay. So everyone just decided we're going to do that, and incredible engineers were all made to do that. I'm not sure it's innovation. It's just let's just do that kind of engineering. So 4K is it, and I think 4K may actually be, or resolution, it's basically going to be that last one. And there isn't really another one left.
But it's really important for one sense. I mean, yes, when you're sitting back in your living room and you have a 4K display, if you can find the content, it's better, right?
It's better.
But that's not the importance. Right. And this is, remember, the first time I saw Jeff had a 102-inch, I think, prototype in his office in New York. This is before the merger had happened. And the thing was, it was great how big it was, but compared to the 55, it was a bad experience because we have never watched TV from 2 feet away before.
Yeah.
Right? And the minute I'm up as a whiteboard and I'm within arm's length so I can interact with it, right. If I bring up a diagram, a photograph, or a PDF file, I'm seeing all the pixels. Right. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing is that the beauty, and so we both, we saw our first 4K, we both went nuts because now I can be this close to the display and it's just as sharp as my beautiful monitor on my desktop. And now, if I can get a GPU that can keep up and I can put the ink and I can get this stuff, I mean, it's just like...
I mean, the dubiousness of that last, gorgeous. The last kind of thing that the display industry needs to actually refine, the dubiousness of it that might apply for it being used as TV, the content delivery, et cetera, or the fact that leaning back, you don't really need it, completely disappear when we're using it for rendered content, and how uniquely suited it is for us when we're actually using the display with computer-controlled or rendered content, is a perfect dovetail into that last kind of burst of iteration in display technology, and the next real area for those things to actually grow into is interactive displays. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect segue because they're uniquely suited to rendered content that we're able to fundamentally now interactively control rather than just be passive viewing consumption devices. That's where there are a lot of things lining up now for what we're doing and how excited we are as a computing company to actually be in this space in displays.
There was a time when Negroponte used to go around and say, imagine when bandwidth is free or approaching free,
right.
and everything you do with wires is now wireless, and you can watch TV and broad high definition TV, all sort of stuff, and and everybody said you're crazy, it's not going to happen, and he was wrong, but he was wrong in the wrong way or the right way. It happened sooner than he predicted, not after. But everybody thought he was crazy when he said that. So the same thing's happening right now.
The cost
imagine
of
when display imagine free. When display real estate is free. Yep. We're used to them being really, really expensive, right?
Yeah.
And so when, I mean, listen,
Even when Bill Gates was here, he would talk about displays everywhere.
No, it's actually right. But they won't appear to be displays. Mm-hmm. If you walk into an office room with a bunch of displays all around the walls, say there's too many displays in here, but you've never walked into a boardroom where there's whiteboards wrapping the whole thing and say there's 20 whiteboards in here.
Yeah.
But that's got to do with the maturity of the physical form factor and the nature of the things. And I would argue whether it's a reflective or emissive display and these other things like that, because they carry the visual language of their predecessors, and you got to figure out how do you gesture in your past and become the new you. Right? It's how do you do the makeover? Right? We need a reality TV show, the LCD makeover show. But the thing is that think about your kid. You got a 9-year-old daughter, and she's got a corkboard in her bedroom where she keeps all her cool stuff. But it's where she can actually work out on a whiteboard with you together. Your math problems and like Jeff, we've been doing a bunch of stuff trying to think about this, but he's got it in his office now, so it just slides down and becomes a drafting table, so you can use it that way, and it can be at higher when you stand or down, and you start thinking about what happens if we can get these types of things, and that so that they're like transformers, and we can do that, right? And this changes, it becomes furniture, and so we've got a buddy. In Las Vegas, who's this crazy guy that I really love, called Andy Robot, and he's been doing all this stuff with these displays, literally on these small industrial robot arms, so that they can morph into these different things. But there's all kinds of things, and he's been doing it with hydraulics. He's got it in his office, and we can do this stuff today. It is going to be there in a cost-effective way in the future. But the only way to engineer the future tomorrow is to have lived in it yesterday. So even though this stuff is expensive right now, we have to pretend it's really cheap, design it and work on it as if it's really cheap, live the life, and then so by the time it's ready for prime time, we've done our homework, we are the ones who are foisted on the public, so we should be the ones who get the bloody noses when we get things wrong, so that by the time it's ready for prime time, we've got it right. And by the way, I love the fact with what used to be Surface, but the Pixel Sense, the tables, mm-hmm. Microsoft did. I thought that was one of the things I'm proudest of, and the company that we put out these rear projection things took a lot of flack. How can you be so stupid to put this Rube Goldberg thing out? No. That let us, with a narrow contained market, gain something like 4 or 5 years of experience with that, so that when we started coming out with these other things, we actually started to understand it by the time it was ready to go to scale up, right? Yeah. And those are the types of investments that are really important, so that's how you shorten the nose.
That's right.
Is that you've got to have vision, and you've got to have confidence, and you've got to be willing to fail, and those failures aren't failures; they're really there's nothing wrong with paying a very high tuition if it's a worthwhile education.
If you're learning from it, and you're able to feed forward that information and make sure that you are learning from it, don't forget your own past.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we have gone way over, and I have not gotten to a single question that I had written. So, great interview. Thank you so much for doing this, and we'll talk to you again soon.
It's a pleasure.
It's awesome.
Anytime.
Yeah, anytime.